human. All right. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Lee Arnold. Welcome to He's the Solution Ministries. Glad to have you all here with us this morning. We're picking up our study in Daniel chapter 2 and beginning in verse 24. So if you want to open your Bibles and read along with us, that'd be great. Daniel chapter 2, verse 24. Then Daniel went to Arioch, whom the king had appointed to execute the wise men of Babylon, and said to him, "Do not execute the wise men of Babylon. Take me to the king, and I will interpret his dream for him." So Arioch took Daniel to the king at once and said, "I have found a man among the exiles from Judah who can tell the king what his dream means." And the king asked Daniel, also called Belteshazzar, "Are you able to tell me what I saw in my dream and interpret it?" And Daniel replied, "No wise man, enchanter, magician, or diviner can explain to the king the mystery he has asked about. But there is a God in heaven who reveals mysteries. He has shown King Nebuchadnezzar what will happen in days to come. Your dream and the visions that pass through your mind as you lay on your bed are these. As you were lying there, O king, your mind turned to things to come, and the revealer of mysteries showed you what is going to happen. As for me, the mystery has been revealed to me, not because I have greater wisdom than other living men, but so that you, O king, may know the interpretation and that you may understand what went through your mind." Verse 31. "You looked, O king, and there before you stood a large statue, an enormous, dazzling statue, awesome in appearance. The head of the statue was made of pure gold, its chest and arms of silver, its belly and thighs of bronze, its legs of iron, its feet partly of iron and partly of baked clay. And while you were watching, a rock was cut out, but not by human hands. It struck the statue on its feet of iron and clay and smashed them. Then the iron, the clay, the bronze, the silver, and the gold were broken to pieces at the same time and became like chaff on a threshing floor in the summer. The wind swept them away without leaving a trace, but the rock struck the statue, became a huge mountain, and filled the whole earth. This was the dream, and now we will interpret it to the king." Verse 37. "You, O king, are the king of kings. The God of heaven has given you dominion and power and might and glory. In your hands he has placed mankind and the beasts of the field and the birds of the air. Wherever they live, he has made you ruler over them all. You are the head of gold. After you, another kingdom will rise, inferior to yours. Next, a third kingdom, one of bronze, will rule over the whole earth. Finally, there will be a fourth kingdom, strong as iron, for iron breaks and smashes everything, and as iron breaks things to pieces, so it will crush and break all the others. Just as you saw that the feet and toes were partly of baked clay and partly of iron, so this will be a divided kingdom, yet it will have some of the strength of iron in it, even as you saw iron mixed with clay. As the toes were partly iron and partly clay, so this kingdom will be partly strong and partly brittle. And just as you saw the iron mixed with baked clay, so the people will be a mixture and will not remain united any more than iron mixes with clay. In the time of those kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom that will never be destroyed, nor will it be left to another people. It will crush all those kingdoms and bring them to an end, but it will itself endure forever. This is the meaning of the vision of the rock cut out of the mountain, but not by human hands, a rock that broke the iron, the bronze, the clay, the silver, and the gold to pieces. And the great God has shown the king what will take place in the future. The dream is true, and the interpretation is trustworthy." Verse 46. "Then King Nebuchadnezzar fell prostrate before Daniel and paid him honor and ordered that an offering and incense be presented to him. And the king said to Daniel, 'Surely your God is the God of gods and the Lord of kings and a revealer of mysteries, for you were able to reveal this mystery.' Then the king placed Daniel in a high position and lavished many gifts on him. He made him ruler over the entire province of Babylon and placed him in charge of all its wise men. Moreover, at Daniel's request, the king appointed Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego administrators over the province of Babylon, while Daniel himself remained at the royal court." Let's pray. Lord, we just come to you now as we open up your word, Lord, as we look at this passage in Daniel. Lord, I pray that you would reveal mysteries to us through your word this morning, through Nebuchadnezzar's dream, through Daniel's interpretation. And Lord, that through it, we would have a better understanding of end times. And Lord, what really is in store for us as Christians, as a nation, as a world. And Lord, that we would take comfort in knowing that you have a plan, a purpose, and that everything is working out for your good. Lord, I just pray that you would remove all the distractions this morning that so often tend to pop up when we open up our Bibles or begin spending time with you. Lord, block the distractions. Block our minds from wandering this morning. Lord, help us to be here in this moment with you. Lord, more than anything, I pray that you'd help me to get out of the way. Lord, nobody cares what I think. Lord, we want to hear from you. So Lord, let these words be from you and just lead us and guide us. Give us wisdom. We love you. We thank you. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Psychologists tell us that 90% of a person's free mental time, that is, the time not devoted to a specific activity, is spent wondering about the past or worrying about the future. Nebuchadnezzar was no exception. I want you guys to think about that. Psychologists tell us that 90% of a person's free mental time. Now, Jacqueline and I were driving yesterday to a wedding, and we were driving, she was checking Facebook, and she saw that somebody we know has come down with cancer. Somebody else that we know recently passed away from complications due to COVID. And admittedly, this is the first COVID death that I've actually known the person. So we're praying for him, his family. It is not believed he had a relationship with the Lord, you know. And that is my prayer, that with all of this chaos and pandemonium and pandemic and elections, that people would feel the need to have a relationship with Jesus Christ, because right now he is the only constant. He is the only thing that makes sense in this crazy world. So my prayer is that people would see all of the things that are going on and say, oh my goodness, I need a relationship with Jesus. But more than that, that he would allow us to be used, allow us to share the good news with people that don't have a relationship with him. And now more than ever, you guys, I think we can all agree on this, that with what we're seeing in the media, with what we're seeing in our local communities, from our governors to our mayors to some of the decisions that are being made, it is creating significant opportunities to witness to people. And there is a lot of fear and there is a lot of concern. You know, there's a lot of people that are unemployed. I mean, now more than ever, I believe that the Lord is setting the stage for us to be witnesses, to share our testimonies with people, to point people to Christ. But as we were having this conversation, I said, you know, I don't know what it is, but it seems like, and this is not to in any way pick on my retired friends, but there is something about retirement where things just tend to slow down. And if 90% of our free mental time is spent wondering about the past or worrying about the future, I'm of the opinion that the best thing we can do is to be cautious of idle time. I believe it is in idle time that we experience the greatest challenges. Now, this is not just for retired people. I think it's for all of us, because there are those moments of idle time where we don't have anything to do. So in those moments, we will sit and spend worrying about the future or the present or, you know, what's happening here and what's happening there. So rather than allow for idle time, now let's make sure we're clear on this. Idle time is time that we don't have anything going on. Idle time would not be time in the Word, devotion time, prayer time. You know, those are specifically scheduled times. So I'm talking about the times that there's just nothing. So we turn on the TV, we look through Facebook, and I'll tell you, looking through Facebook is almost as bad as watching the news, because there's so much negative things that are in those feeds that you can't help but get sucked into the drama of it all. So at the top here, just a cautionary tale, be cautious of idle time, because we know that it is the idle time that Satan likes to tempt us. It was when Jesus was in the desert getting some alone time that Satan tempted him. So I do think that it is healthy to have time where we go off alone and just spend time in the Word and time in prayer, but don't allow those times to be so long that we become susceptible to Satan. Okay, so verse 24, Daniel goes to Arioch. Now, King Nebuchadnezzar had his dream, and he went to his magicians and his astrologers and everybody that should have known interpretation. And he said, look, you guys, I'm not doing what we've done in the past. I'm not going to tell you what my dream was, because if I tell you, then you can come up with any cockamamie story that you want to, and you can tie it to the sun and the stars and the moon and the current political climate and what's going on. So I'm not telling you my dream this time. In fact, I want you to tell me my dream this time. And not only tell me what my dream was, but then I want you to interpret the dream. So if we go back to chapter 2, and we see verse 10. There's not a man on earth who can do what the king asks. No king, however great and mighty, has ever asked such a thing of any magician or enchanter or astrologer. What the king asks is too difficult. No one can reveal it to the king except the gods, and they do not live among men. And this made the king so angry and furious that he ordered the execution of all the wise men of Babylon. So the decree was issued to put the wise men to death, and the wise men were sent to look for Daniel and his friends to put them to death. When Arioch, the commander of the king's guard, meaning the executioner, had gone out to put to death the wise men of Babylon, Daniel spoke to him with wisdom and tact. So Arioch is going out to kill everybody. Arioch is going out to seek out Daniel and say, Daniel, look, man, we got a problem, and if you can't help us, I got to kill all these people. No, Arioch was going to kill Daniel. So as we pick up here in verse 24, Daniel, we see Daniel going to Arioch. Now, Daniel goes to Arioch after Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had a prayer meeting, and they met, and they prayed about this. And so Daniel goes to Arioch and he says, do not execute the wise men of Babylon. He says, take me to the king and I will interpret his dream for him. Now, here we see Daniel did not use his success to promote his self-interest. He thought of others. And when striving to succeed, remember the needs of others. The fastest way to see the work of God through your life stopped is to begin to think that it's because you're special. Why do we allow God, what are we doing to allow God to use us in ministry, in service, in witnessing, or our walk? Daniel was used from the time he was a young man until he was 85 years old because he didn't take the credit. Daniel here, this is an opportunity, and I think as Christians, especially in today's day and age, we need to be in prayer and asking the Lord specifically to open up doors of opportunity to share Christ. Now, I mentioned the camp out last weekend. We have been praying for years and years and years and years about members of Jacqueline's family who are not saved. They do not have a personal relationship with the Lord. And this weekend, we had one of her family members attend the camp out. And at the end of the service last Sunday, she was in tears. God is working on her. God is chasing her. God wants her to leave what religion and belief she was raised with and invite him into her heart to make him her Lord and Savior. And the Lord is working on her. But that camp out was an opportunity, a window to share the gospel in a non-combative environment. One of the prayers this morning was that we would witness in a non-competitive way, that we would find opportunities to share the good news in an environment where people are interested and that they want to hear. But we need to be seeking out those opportunities. We need to be praying specifically that the Lord would open those doors. Now, Daniel, in this moment, he could have done nothing. And this is the other side of this. If we want to be used by the Lord, we have to be ready in a moment's notice to go. You know, in Romans, it talks about being equipped, putting on the armor of God, the full armor of God, so that we are equipped and that we are ready. You know, here in our United States, we have tremendous men and women who serve in the armed forces, and they are ready in a moment's notice. I mean, the president can say, I need guardsmen here, and within hours, trained, equipped, ready, prepared soldiers show up. Now, that doesn't happen in the blink of an eye because, you know, a call went out and all these people showed up. No, this happens well in advance of being needed. And that's why now more than ever, it is really important that we all be equipped by reading our Bibles, by being in prayer, by studying the scriptures, by memorizing verses, so that we are equipped and ready when God places somebody in front of us that is ready to listen, ready to hear. The only way we're going to be used by God is if we are actively preparing boot camp, right? I want to be a 30-year retired veteran in the Lord's army, or an 80-year retired veteran in the Lord's army. But we have to be equipped. We have to be ready. Now, what did Daniel and his friends do to get ready? Going back to verse 2 and verse 17, it says, "Then Daniel returned to his house and explained the matter to his friends Hanani, Mikael, and Ezra, and he urged them to plead for mercy from God of heaven concerning this mystery so that he and his friends might not be executed with the rest of the wise men of Babylon." Daniel calls his friends together and they have a prayer meeting. The best thing, the number one thing we can be doing as Christians to prepare and to be equipped is to pray. And yes, we pray here together Sunday mornings, which would be considered corporately, but it's also really important that we be in prayer privately, in our own private devotions, in our own private time. You know, one of the times that I find most suited for me to pray is when I'm driving. When I'm driving to the office, when I'm driving to the lake, when I'm driving, I'm praying typically. And one of the things that I pray for more than anything else is that the Lord would give me wisdom. Because Solomon, when asked by the Lord, "What do you want?" he said, "Lord, give me wisdom." And the Lord made him one of the wisest men to have ever walked this earth. And we have his wisdom in the book of Proverbs. "Lord, give me wisdom. Give me wisdom to interpret what's going on in these crazy times of ours. Give me wisdom to share knowledge with others. Lord, give me wisdom to know how to handle this situation or the circumstance." But we've got to be in prayer. The time to start studying our Bible is not when our unsaved friends and family start asking questions. The time to study our Bible and to be ready and equipped is now. And the more time we spend studying and equipping ourselves for ministry, the more opportunities the Lord is going to give us for ministry. And let that be a lesson. And some of you are thinking, well, the Lord hasn't called me to ministry. No, the Lord has called you to ministry. if you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, if you have invited into your heart, if the Holy Spirit is living inside of you, you have been called into ministry. The question you have to ask is, what aspect of ministry? There's many of them. There's the gift of speaking. There's the gift of teaching. There's the gift of exhortation. There's the gift of prophecy. There's the gift of service. Every single person that calls on the name of the Lord is called to serve. They're called to ministry. So don't make the mistake of thinking that ministry is, I'm going to go to seminary, I'm going to get a degree in theology, I'm going to go start a church. And yes, while that is one aspect of being called to that particular ministry, every single one of us is called to serve, to help, to pray with, to provide, to tithe. We've all been called. Just understand that when the Lord uses you, make sure he gets the credit. And that's what we see Daniel doing here in verse 24. Then Daniel went to Arioch, whom the king had appointed to execute the wise men of Babylon. And he said, do not execute the wise men of Babylon. Take me to the king, and I will interpret the dream for him. So Arioch took Daniel to the king at once and said, I have found a man among the exiles from Judah who can tell the king what his dream is. Notice Arioch here, and this is the difference between the believers and the world. The world wants to take credit. The world wants to say it was me. Now here, Arioch, who was actively seeking Daniel out to execute him, is so quick to jump on the bandwagon and take credit. Now, this is frustrating for those who are Christians working in a secular world with non-believers. And I think we can all agree, we've all had that situation where somebody took credit for our work and it kind of rubbed us the wrong way. And we wanted to go in and say, wait a minute, that was my thing. I said that. That was my idea. That was my suggestion. That was my thing. Now, Daniel doesn't correct Arioch here. He doesn't say, whoa, 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 Arioch. Nebuchadnezzar, look, dude, you need to know something. Arioch was coming to kill me. I'm the one who went to him. As Christians, we should not be seeking out credit or validation from the world. Who cares, right? We don't need the world telling us, good job, attaboy. I simply want to make sure that I am in the Lord's will in anything and everything that I am doing. And that's where Daniel's at. His heart is to serve, not to take or receive credit. But Arioch, being of the world, is quick to take the credit. So he says, hey, king, I found a man among the exiles from Judah who can tell the king what the dream means. And then the king asked Daniel, also called Belteshazzar, are you able to tell me what I saw in my dream and interpret it? Now, here we're going to see, before Daniel says anything else to the king, he's going to give credit to God. Look at verse 27. He said, no wise man, enchanter, magician, or diviner can explain to the king the mystery he is asked about. But there is a God in heaven who reveals mysteries. He has shown King Nebuchadnezzar what will happen in days to come. Your dream and the visions that pass through your mind as you lay on your bed are these. Daniel, before he told the king anything else, he gave credit to God, explaining that he did not know the dream through his own wisdom, but only because God revealed it. How easily we take credit for what God does through us. This robs God of the honor that he alone deserves. Instead, we should be like Daniel and point people to God so that we give him the glory. If God is blessing you in business, if God is blessing you financially, if God is blessing you in any way this morning, that in and of itself is an opportunity for ministry. You know, when people come and say, hey, Lee, I really appreciated this, or thanks for the training, thanks for the class, praise the Lord. You know, it's nothing that I've done. It is all the Lord. And even as people find us on the internet and come to our seminars and our live now virtual events, praise the Lord. It's nothing that I'm doing. It's the Lord. This is his business. This is his company. I am merely an employee in the Lord's army. God is the CEO. Success gives us an opportunity to point people to Christ. But remember this, the fastest way to see God working in your life stopped is to begin to think it's because you're special. God will use, in my opinion, he will use those who are humble most. So let's not be arrogant or boastful or puffed up. Let's not be impressed with anything that we've done. Because the only thing that matters as it relates to our time on this planet is what we have done for the advancement of the kingdom. I mentioned earlier that we know a family who recently lost their husband, their father. He was in his mid-70s circumstances related to COVID. Now, I don't know all of the details of this, so I will withhold details or sharing them because I don't know. All we know based on the family's Facebook post is that he died from complications of COVID. Now, this man had spent his entire life building one of the largest electrical installation companies here in the Pacific Northwest, a large company. He was one of the investors in our equity fund and spent his entire career working on building this business. And it's believed that he did not know the Lord when he passed away. Now, we don't know that. I didn't know the man well enough. It's not up to me to judge. That's not my call. But we know that a apple tree will produce apples and a peach tree will produce peaches. So a Christian should produce fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, a desire to share the word. I didn't see any of that fruit from this person. But again, it's not up to me to decide. But as I thought about it, he spent the greater majority of his life building something that now in the afterlife has no bearing on anything. And I just want to caution every single one of us to not invest the rest of our lives on the wrong things. We can put an emphasis, far too great of an emphasis, on what the world believes is important: success, money, houses, cars, stories, portfolios, investment properties. And we can spend so much of our time building and developing out those things that we never really stop and invest time to develop out the things of the Spirit, like knowing the word, like sharing the gospel, like leading people to Christ, like serving at the church, like serving at the local homeless shelter, serving at the local food kitchen, service. I heard it said once that I can tell, if you'll just hand me your checkbook, I can find very quickly where your heart is if I simply look at your expenditures. And you know what? That statement has always convicted me. But we could say the same thing about, show me your calendar and I'll show you where your heart for Christ lies, right? If our calendar is filled with this business meeting, this seminar, this business trip, this business transaction, and I don't see that we've carved out any time for prayer, for devotions, for Bible study, for church services, for church outings, church outreach, camps, conferences, where's your heart? So our heart is where we invest our money. Our heart is where we invest our time. And so it's rarely a matter of the heart. It's the heart of the matter. Where is our time being invested? Daniel was 100% devoted to serving the Lord. Now, we can look at Daniel, we can say, well, yeah. But you got to understand, Daniel was taken into captivity. He was neutered, so he couldn't have kids. He obviously wasn't going to get married. He was dedicated 100% to the Lord's service, so he could do that. But I've got obligations. I've got a job. I've got bills. I've got kids. I've got all of these things. No, I get it. You don't need to defend yourself or explain yourself to me. But I would encourage you to look at your calendar and say, am I carving out any time for the Lord in the busyness and the craziness of my schedule? Am I scheduling time specifically with him and for him? Verse 27, Daniel replied, no wise man, enchanter, magician, or diviner can explain to the king the mystery he has asked about. But there is a God in heaven who reveals mysteries, and he has shown King Nebuchadnezzar what will happen in the days to come. Your dream and the visions that pass through your mind as you lay on your bed are these. As you were lying there, O king, your mind turned to things to come, and the revealer of mysteries showed you what is going to happen. As for me, the mystery has been revealed to me, not because I have greater wisdom than other living men, but so that you, O king, may understand, or that you, O king, may know the interpretation, and that you may understand what went through your mind. You looked, O king, and there before you stood a large statue, an enormous, dazzling statue, awesome in appearance. Now, this head of gold of the statue in the dream represents Nebuchadnezzar, ruler of the Babylonian Empire. Now, it's interesting that God reveals to Nebuchadnezzar the future by utilizing the thing that Nebuchadnezzar understood most, and that was idols. Nebuchadnezzar was a huge idol worshiper. They had the moon god, the sun god, the fertility god. Nebuchadnezzar was a very worldly man, and he looked to idols as gods, as success. You know, I know a Christian man who, you know, rarely, if ever, does a Facebook Live, but if he does, it's about something. And it's either about a building he's acquiring or it's about a car that he's buying. And so much energy and emphasis is spent sharing with his viewers and followers all of the idols that he worships, buildings, cars, apartments. But yet, none of those Facebook Live posts have to do with sharing his heart or the gospel with the Lord. And there's no balance there. The Lord will speak to us and communicate to us in a way that we can understand. And here, he is communicating to Nebuchadnezzar through the use of an idol. So in this image, the head is gold, pure gold. Now, this head refers to the Babylonian Empire at this time, which Nebuchadnezzar is over. God has placed Nebuchadnezzar in this position of authority. Then it goes on to say that the head and the chest, the head of the statue is made of pure gold, a chest and arms of silver. The silver chest and two arms represent the Medo-Persian Empire, which will conquer Babylon in 539 BC. Now, this is going to happen very quickly because God is going to see, or we are going to see as we get deeper into Daniel, that Daniel is going to go from being involved with the Babylonian Empire to being involved with the Medo-Persian Empire later in his life. So we will also see in this study how the Medes and the Persians are going to come in and attack Babylon. So this is the second time, or this is the now second empire that we'll see. Now the belly and the thighs of bronze were Greece and Macedonia under Alexander the Great, who will conquer the Medo-Persian Empire in 334 and 330 BC. Now, Alexander the Great will conquer the known world. However, upon conquering the known world, heartbroken and depressed that there were no more worlds to conquer, He died at the age of 33 in a drunken stupor. So here we see Alexander the Great. He gets his identity from conquering places. So at the time of the known world, Alexander the Great had conquered everything there was to conquer, and without anything left to do, he dies an alcoholic. You know, it goes to the top of what we're saying. 90% of our idle time is spent wondering about the past or worrying about the future. If we aren't focused on the right things, we very quickly can become overwhelmed with the current things. Let our days be spent serving the Lord, not chasing dreams, goals. Now, there's nothing wrong with these, you guys. Let me make this very clear. There's nothing wrong with wanting to make more income for you and your family, to start a side business. If the Lord is calling you to do that, then absolutely do that. Where it becomes an idol to us is when it replaces our desire to be with the Lord, to be with our church family, worshiping there, to be serving others. When the majority of our time, energy, and effort goes to amassing a fortune or building wealth, we have gone from what the Lord may be calling us to do to replacing the Lord with this idol called success. So let's not chase success if it means we lose sight of our relationship with the Lord. The legs of iron represent Rome, which will conquer the Greeks in 63 BC. Now, the feet of clay and iron represented the breakup of the Roman Empire. When the territory Rome ruled divided into a mixture of strong and weak nations. Now, the Roman Empire was never destroyed. It merely broke up. It just kind of ended because there was a lack of leadership. There was a lack of commitment. There was a lack of unity. The breakup of the Roman Empire, if you study this, looks very much like the breakup of the United States of America and what is going on in our world politically. I don't know that I have ever seen the nation more divided now than it's ever been. And this election that's coming up has us even more divided than we've ever been. The type of metal in each part of this statue that the Lord has revealed to Nebuchadnezzar depicted the strength of the political power it represented. Now, I want you to understand something here. We go from gold to silver to bronze to clay and iron. Now, you will notice that the global powers are not getting stronger. In Nebuchadnezzar's dream, it starts with the strongest, toughest, most resilient metal and goes all the way down to iron and clay mixed together, which is weak. Clay cannot adhere to iron. If you melt clay or ceramic and metal and you put them together in a pot, once they cool and dry, the ceramic does not bond with the metal, which makes it very weak. So God is showing us a diminishing strength of these kingdoms. Now, as we look at this, here's the thing that you've got to understand. This is prophetic. This is God revealing to us what is coming. And what is coming is weaker and weaker and weaker nations. Now, we have to look at this and even look at the campaign slogan, Make America Great Again, right? Mega. We've all seen it. We've all said it. We all believe it. Make America Great Again. Well, here's the thing we've got to understand. In God's economy, in God's plan for the future, the only nation that will become great again is going to be Europe through the revived Roman Empire. Because the Roman Empire was never defeated, it merely went away. And the Roman Empire is being revived. Germany, Poland, Italy, Greece, all of these European nations coming together and forming a new world government that will rule and reign the nation. Now, God will set this up, but understand, when we say make America great again, we need to be very careful that we are saying, Lord, make America great again in the way you would have it to be great again. Now, when we say make America great again, we're talking about, you know, jobs and success and a thriving GDP and things moving up and to the right. You know, I would be willing to say make America great again if it meant financial strain, financial ruin, to the point that people were hurting and unemployed and starving, if that is what would be necessary for people to come to know Christ. Now, that's a pretty bold thing to say. And admittedly, in saying it scares me to death. Because what I'm saying is, if us as Americans being less successful, not doing so well financially, you know, go back to 2008, 9, and 10, those were pretty painful times. If going through those painful financial times is what is necessary for people to come to know Christ, are we willing to endure the pain and the anguish of not having financial success if it means people coming to know Christ, right? And that's where the rubber meets the road. I've shared this story before, but I'll briefly mention it again. There was a missionary that was doing missions in China where the Bible is not accepted, not viewed, not appreciated. And in many respects, people can lose their lives for confessing their beliefs there. So this missionary, he would go up into this attic of this home or this apartment building, and it was hot. There was no air conditioning, and they would meet in secret, in private, because they didn't want anybody to know that they were there. And people that were aware that this Bible study was happening would travel for days, and they would come and they would sit on a hard floor, and for 14 and 15 hours a day, they would sit and listen to the word. And one of them who came prayed, and this was their prayer. They said, Lord, I pray that you would allow China to share in the freedom of religion that the United States experiences. And after this woman was done praying, the missionary said to her, he says, ma'am, I appreciate and I understand your prayer. He says, but my prayer is that America would come to appreciate the gospel to the same degree that you all here appreciate it, because you are risking your lives to be here, to hear the word. You are subjecting yourself to uncomfortable situations and circumstances by sitting on this hard floor for 14 hours. He said, if only Americans were that willing to be uncomfortable for the sake of Christ. And I thought, boy, how true is that? Because if the sermon goes longer than 25 minutes, we're all looking at our watch saying, okay, Pastor, wrap this thing up. We got, you know, we got a buffet we got to get to. And if the chairs aren't comfortable, we're going to leave a card. If the room is too hot, we're going to complain. If it's too cold, we're going to complain. If the music's too loud, we're going to complain. If the music's not loud enough, we're going to complain. You know, Americans have, in my opinion, become so complacent because of our religious freedom that I think to some degree we've become ineffective, because we're not concerned as much for those that don't know Christ. We're more concerned for our comfort, our success, our wealth, our ability to buy. Warren Wiersbe said this. He says, as we survey history, on one level we see progress and improvement. But when we go deeper we see decay and decline. Thoreau, a philosopher of the 1800s, said this: America has approved means to unimproved ends. America has approved means to unimproved ends. We can speak easily to people in almost any part of the world, but do we have anything important to say? We can travel rapidly from one place to another, but we make little progress in solving the problems of war, violence, famine, and liberty. While we are grateful for things that make modern life more comfortable and enjoyable, i.e. good houses, cars, planes, powerful medicines, electronic devices, we have to admit that each of these things brings with it new problems that have to be solved. And here's the key phrase: it's easier to make a living, but it is harder to make a life. Saw something the other day, and the basic premise of the question was, if you could go back to 1990, would you? And I can't even tell you how quick I was to jump on the bandwagon and say, absolutely, I would in a heartbeat. Because in 1990, we didn't have cell phones. Well, not any good cell phones. We didn't have the internet. We didn't have Facebook. We didn't have Google. You know, it just seems like simpler times. Now, I know some of you would say, oh, I'd go back to 1970, or I'd go back to 1950. I know my dad would tell you he'd go back to 1950 so he could listen to the music. Everly Brothers. He just loved the oldies, as do I. It's easier to make a living, but it's harder to make a life. You know, if we as a nation have to experience discomfort for the sake of others coming to know Christ, praise the Lord. If we as Americans have to experience leadership in the White House that we do not agree with, that we are not on board with, but as a result, people will come to know Christ, then praise the Lord. God's kingdom will never be destroyed. If you are upset by threats of war and the prosperity of evil leaders, remember that God, not world leaders, decide the outcome of history. Under God's protection, God's kingdom is indestructible. Those who believe in God are members of his kingdom and are secure in him. I want you guys to hang a right in your Bibles and go to 2 Timothy chapter 3 real quick. 2 Timothy chapter 3. So hang a right in your Bible. Second Timothy chapter 3, and let's look at verses 1 through 7. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. But mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. Now, tell me if this does not sound like 2020. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, having nothing to do with them, or have nothing to do with them. They are the kind who worm their way into homes and gain control over weak-willed women who are loaded down with sins and are swayed by all kinds of evil desires, always learning but never able to acknowledge the truth. Does that not sound like the last days? Flip over in your Bibles to Luke chapter 21. Luke 21. Luke chapter 21 and verses 25 through 36 says this: there will be signs in the sun, moon, and stars on the earth. Nations will be in anguish and perplexity at the roaring and tossing of the sea. Men will faint from terror, apprehensive of what is coming on the world, for the heavenly bodies will be shaken. At the time, they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And when these things begin to take place, stand up and lift up your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. He told this parable. Look at the fig tree and all the trees. When they sprout leaves, you can see for yourselves and know that summer is near. Even so, when you see these things happening, you know that the kingdom of God is near. I tell you the truth, this generation will certainly not pass away until all of these things have happened. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. Be careful, or your hearts will be weighed down with dissipation, drunkenness, and the anxieties of life, and that day will close on you unexpectedly like a trap, for it will come upon those who live on the face of the whole earth. Be always on the watch and pray that you may be able to escape all that is about to happen, and that you may be able to stand before the Son of Man. Each day Jesus was teaching at the temple, and each evening he went out to spend the night on the hill called the Mount of Olives, and all the people came early in the morning to hear him at the temple. Guys, what we are seeing right now in our nation, in our world, we need to look at it and think, praise the Lord, because the tree is budding leaves. We are getting closer and closer and closer to the end times. Now, we should be excited about it, but we should also be motivated to share as a result of it. If the Lord were to come back today, which would be awesome, I am ready to go. And my kids hate it when I say that, because especially my son, Preston, he says, no, Dad, I don't want the Lord to come yet. I want to get married, and I want to have kids, and I want to have a family. And I say, Preston, I get that, but heaven is going to be incredible, and I'm ready. So when we're watching the news and we see these riots taking place and we see governors doing stupid things and making silly proclamations, praise the Lord. That should be our first response. But the counter response now should be, Lord, who do you need me to witness to before you come back? Who do I need to share the gospel with? Who in my family? Who that I work with? Who is it that works for me that I need to preach and share Christ to? So, yes, the world is in crazy, chaotic order. But I think that as a result of this, people are going to be more willing and susceptible to hear what the Bible has to say. They're going to be more open to hearing what the Word says. They're looking and seeking for some semblance of order and saneness. You know, when everything's going great, we don't need anything. You know, when my car is running down the road and there's no knocking, there's no problems, my tires all have air in them, I really don't think much about my car. But the minute that I get a flat, suddenly, do I have a jack? Am I prepared? If my car were to run out of gas, do I have a plan? You know, that's another opportunity to witness. Look, the world is coming to an end. In Nebuchadnezzar's dream, we see that the world order is getting less and less strong. And it's not improving. It's getting worse. And it's going to continue to. And so as Christians, we need to not fight against the system as much as we need to use what is going on in global events as an opportunity to preach and share Christ. And let's make sure that we are not so quick to jump on the bandwagon of blaming one political party over another. Well, it's the Democrats. Things are terrible because the Democrats are idiots. Or, you know, it's all the Republicans' fault, and it's that darn Donald Trump that's causing all. No, you guys, it's none of those things, and it's none of those people. It is God who is causing these things. And he is not surprised by them. God is not up in heaven going, oh, my goodness, I can't believe, you know, Kamala Harris, what are we going to do now? Holy cow, Joe Biden, oh, my goodness, Sleepy Joe, what are we going to do? God's not surprised by any of this. And I think as Christians, our witness and our testimony is somewhat diminished when we jump on the bandwagon of these political sides. You know what? Whoever the next president is, praise the Lord, because that is the president that God has chosen and appointed. Regardless of how you voted, if your vote does not go the way you voted, doesn't mean you lost. It meant God has a different plan. And I, Lord, I pray that when I vote, that I vote to your will. Lord, this is your world. This is your show. And I am merely here as a servant. You are the CEO. Lord, tell me what it is you would have me to do. I'm not going to question your authority. I'm not going to question the way that you are leading and guiding, directing. We had an employee on Friday fired for bucking the system. Fired because he was questioning the authority of his manager and telling his manager, you know what, you're an idiot. You don't know what you're doing. I think you should do it this way. So on the termination notice, it said insubordination. You know, how many of us are guilty as Christians of being insubordinate to our CEO, God? And every time we lambaste the media or the political party, we're being insubordinate because this is God's economy. This is God's America. This is God's planet. And he is working all things out for his glory, not ours. And yes, while, you know, a change in control in the White House might affect our bottom line by increasing our taxes or taking away freedoms or annihilating our 401ks or IRAs, praise the Lord. That should be our attitude. Praise the Lord. Lord, whatever you have in store, I believe you, I trust you, and I know that the best result will come. Can you imagine if the Christian church actually got behind this thing? Now, that doesn't mean we throw our hands in the air and we say, okay, Lord, well, whatever you want to do, do it, and I won't get involved. No, I think as Christians, we need to be involved. I think as Christians, we need to be running for office, and we need to be seeking seats as senators and governors. We need Christians in the White House. We need Christians in our government and our Senate. We need Christians at the foundation of creating laws, but only as instruments and vehicles of what the Lord's will is. Now, as a result of Daniel revealing this mystery to Nebuchadnezzar, verse 48, then the king placed Daniel in a high position and lavished many gifts on him. He made him ruler over the entire province of Babylon and placed him in charge of all of its wise men. Moreover, at Daniel's request, the king appointed Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego administrators over the province of Babylon while Daniel himself remained at the royal courts. When we stay in faith, when we merely put our faith and trust in the Lord and make ourselves available for service, for ministry, the Lord will elevate us in his time. Daniel did not come into captivity in Babylon and say, you know what, if I work really hard, if I study really hard, if I get good grades, if I'm diligent, if I do all of the things, if I check all of the boxes, maybe one day I can be second in command of all of Babylon. That wasn't Daniel's dream, nor was it Joseph's dream when he was placed second in command of Egypt. Nor was it Nehemiah's dream when he was elevated to second in command, and because of his position and authority, he was able to go and rebuild the wall of Jerusalem. God elevates Christian leaders to fulfill his will and accomplish his purpose. So our prayer should not be that God change the things that are making us uncomfortable, but rather that God would change our heart to be comfortable with the changes he's making. God's kingdom will never be destroyed. If you're upset by threats of war and the prosperity of evil leaders, remember that God, not world leaders, decide the outcome of history. So in closing, God will never transfer his sovereignty to those who are temporarily in charge of activities in the secular world. I want to read that again. I want you to listen very closely to this. God will never transfer his sovereignty to those who are temporarily in charge of activities in the secular world. That means it doesn't matter if it is a Republican or a Democrat, if it is Trump or if it is Joe, if it is this mayor or that governor. God will never transfer his sovereignty. Sovereignty means control to those who are temporarily in charge of activities in the secular world. Nancy Pelosi will not be around forever. God is still in control. Neither will he abdicate or give up his authority until the agnostics make up their minds whether or not they believe in him. The God who revealed himself in history is the one who is in control of history. Whether we look at it for, whether we are to look for it in an apocalyptic moment or in progressive realization, the time will come when the kingdoms of the world will become the kingdom of the Lord. Strength, human wisdom, human drive, human, there's an eternal sunlight visible on the horizon when we remember that the future belongs to God. The ages of time to him are as a day. We can have strength for living now because we not only have hope for the future, but we are part of the future in God's redemptive purpose. If you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, walking with our Lord and Savior is not about works, not checking boxes, doing what you think you're supposed to do, or wearing certain clothes or garments. Salvation is not about a religion or a church. It's about a relationship with Jesus. Do you know him personally? If you do, if you have Jesus living inside of you and you have invited him there, then you have the full assurance of salvation. And when God comes back, when the rapture takes place, you will go straight to the clouds in the twinkling of an eye when God calls Christians home. Yes, the world is scary. Yes, what laws are being passed and decisions that are being made can be grounds for pulling your hair out in sheer frustration because of the stupidity of some of the things that are being said or done. But remember, every time we question what is going on in our government, we are questioning God's authority, and we are being insubordinate as his servants. So let us all trust in the fact that God is on the throne, he's in control. What's going to happen is going to happen because he's ordained it to happen. Our prayer should be that, Lord, you would use us to advance your kingdom as your plan unfolds, and help us to stay in faith and to know that you have a plan and a purpose, and you are working out all things for your glory and for your good. In Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you for your word, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that we aren't experiencing anything different than Daniel was experiencing so many, many years ago, dealing with an unruly king that didn't love you, Lord, didn't trust in you, questioning the political agenda and the motives of Nebuchadnezzar and Arioch and, Lord, all of these people dictating who lived and who died. But, Lord, they were merely pieces, players, pawns being used for your glory. And Lord, for all of the politicians that think they have all of this power and control, that they are all the political jockeying, Lord, that they think they're being so coy at and so smart and so strategic, Lord, all they're doing is merely fulfilling your will. Lord, help us to look at it from that lens. Help us to see that there's nothing going on that you aren't orchestrating. Lord, that all of the craziness between the Democrats and Republicans and the liberals and the Nazis and the socialists. Lord, they're all merely fulfilling your will, your purpose. Exactly what you prophesied here in Daniel, Lord, is coming true. So Lord, help us to not look at it from the standpoint of fear or concern or frustration, but rather help us to look at these world events with enthusiasm and excitement, that the tree is budding, Lord, and the fruit is near. And Lord, as exciting as that is for those of us that have a relationship for you or a relationship with you, Lord, it is equally concerning for friends and family that we know a relationship with you. So Lord, help us look at all of these signs that we're seeing in the world today as an indication that we're running out of time. And Lord, you are drawing this thing to a close. It is coming to an end. Lord, who is it that you have placed in our path that needs to know about you? Who is it, Lord, that we work with, that works for us, that needs to come to know you as Lord and Savior? Lord, help us to be that our frustration. Help us. And so many people do not know you. And Lord, pray all the dishes. Lord, your hearts. Lord, while we're going on, there's a person to you. Lord, only you know the heart. For those that don't have a relationship with you, I pray that they would invite you into their heart, make you their Lord and Savior. And Lord, for any of those that are listening or watching right now that are concerned with what's happening in our globe, Lord, I just pray that you would give them peace and comfort in knowing that nothing is happening and you're surprised about. And Lord, I thank you for that truth. Lord, I thank you for our time today. Thank you for your word. Thank you for clarity. Thank you for understanding. We love you, Lord. We are so grateful. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, I would encourage you guys to watch and listen to the news from a very different lens, rather than frustration and, well, I think frustration is probably the best word. Look at it from the standpoint that God is doing incredible things right now, and we are getting very close to the second coming. That's exciting. If you need prayer, we'd love to pray with you. You can call our prayer line at 800-461-0216. Again, 800-461-0216. I also want to remind you guys about the Be Bold for Jesus conference. Yes, we are still having it. Yes, it will still be live, and it's going to be October 23, 24, and 25. If you have not yet gotten your tickets, you can go to HeesTheSolution.com, click on the link, and make sure you get registered. So a praise report. I want to share this with you very quickly. When we were putting the Be Bold for Jesus conference together, when we had secured Kirk Cameron as the keynote speaker, we had gone to the local radio station called Shine 103.9 or 104.9 and asked if they would be our ministry partner in this conference. And we were met with a lot of no's. No, we don't know you. This is a first-time event. We don't know what your agenda is. No. And it was just a lot of no's. Last week, we got a call from 104.9 Shine asking if they could be our ministry partner for this event. Because there's no concerts that are taking place. There's no national seminars that are touring the nation. So there's not a whole lot for 104.9 Shine to promote. So by default, as a result of COVID, they have come to us and asked if they could be our ministry partner, which means they're going to be doing a lot of commercials, airtime for us at no cost. They're going to be emailing their list, and they will be on site for the entire event, hosting and doing other things. And it's just amazing how the Lord is opening up doors. So praise the Lord for that. Now, the reason I share that story with you is we are seeing record numbers of registrations coming in as a result of this. So if you have been delaying booking your ticket for any reason, please be in prayer about that. Does the Lord want you to come up here? And by the way, we will be live streaming the entire event. So when you purchase your ticket, it's only $99. You can attend live or you can attend live stream, however you would like to do that. But know that we are running out of seats for that. So go to heisthesolution.com and you can get registered there. Looking forward to that conference. And I'm really excited to see many of you. It's been a while since I've seen many of your faces. So I'm excited to reconnect and have some time of fellowship with you out here in Coeur d'Alene, October 23, 24, and 25. So looking forward to seeing you all there. Until next time, if we are still here, Lord willing, we'll see you next Sunday. And if we're not here because the rapture has occurred, praise the Lord. Can't wait. Until then, God bless you guys. Have a great week. We'll talk to you soon. Goodbye, everybody.